This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Arms Length Reporting, for investors who want the whole story. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in KER Politics. We started a new segment on the website this past Wednesday, book recommendations. The first book I recommended was called Anatomy of Failure, Why America Loses Every War It Starts. As I mentioned, it's written by one of our frequent guests, Harlan K. Ullman. He is a well-known guy in the area of foreign affairs, has a PhD from the Fletcher School and Harvard. One of the comments that we got when I put this missive up fairly early was from you, Silver Dollar, and I wanted Harlan to comment on that. You were talking about some of the misnomers that were coming out of Vietnam, how a number of people in Vietnam at the time really wanted the true story of what was going on over there to get out. A fellow by the name of Neil Sheehan wrote a book entitled A Bright Shining Lie. You mentioned that was one of your three favorites on Vietnam, and you said everybody ought to read these books. Harlan, what was really going on in 61, 62, and 63 in Vietnam?
But it wasn't 61, 62, 63. It was after 65, the Tonkin Gulf Resolution in 64, and the huge buildup. When I was over there, you know, until 67, the only reliable sources we had of what was going on was journalists who were present and who knew that we were getting fed a bunch of nonsense from the Saigon 5 o'clock follies that were putting out this garbage about what was happening in the war. It was not only Neil Sheehan, it was David Halberstam and others who wrote convincingly of how we were deluding ourselves. And the notion here in Vietnam, very simply, was that we had to win at any cost. We were going to distort the facts, and we were going to distort reality to show that we were winning, because how could we possibly lose to a fifth-world country with a fifth-rate military? So the distortion of the truth, the lies, the exaggerations were monumental. It's a lesson I'm not sure that we have learned today, because finding out what truth is exceedingly difficult, but exceedingly essential to the success of any kind of democracy. And the more that we lie and the more that we don't tell the truth, the more that we damage the basic democratic values on which this country is based.
You know, I would have to say from past conversations we've had, Harlan, that the BS that comes out of a lot of the war zones, for lack of better terms, is really amazing to me. It's, you know, it's information that has to be accurate, and it would appear that the government more often than not puts out totally inaccurate information. Got a comment on that?
Well, you have to be careful when you talk about the government. I think the Department of Defense today is very scrupulous in what it tries to say and put out. But a lot of this gets compromised by any kind of a White House. George W. Bush wanted to minimize what was happening into Iraq. And so we didn't tell the truth of what was happening in Iraq. Barack Obama wanted to minimize what was happening in the war on terror. Mm-hmm. And so we didn't fully tell the truth. And now you have a president who doesn't know what the truth is. And so it's exceedingly difficult to be able for the average American to say whether he should be or she should be for or against what we're doing when you have incomplete knowledge of what's happening on the ground. And in my mind, a democracy has to be fully transparent, and it has to tell the truth, warts and all, and to the degree that it becomes dissembling and incapable of telling factual reality, the greater degree that democracy is under great threat of losing its legitimacy and appeal to the public.
I would have to say, you know, kind of as a midpoint comment, that in my opinion, the truth in a situation as grievous as this, as serious as all of these put together can be, is absolutely essential. But one thing you bring out in your book is going all the way back to the Korean War. It's been BS has been coming pretty much out of the office. I guess I would have to say the office of the president of the country, not necessarily the DOD. Is that correct?
Well, leadership starts at the top.
Yeah.
And if you have a president who is not prepared to tell the truth, and Jack Kennedy didn't about Vietnam, Lyndon Johnson didn't, nor did Richard Nixon, then you have huge problems. And presidents have got to be absolutely truthful with the American public. And when they're not, then they destroy the legitimacy of the office, because how are you going to have respect for the leader of the country when you know that he, in this case, is not always capable of telling the truth? And the fundamental problem with the Trump administration is that Donald Trump rarely tells the truth. So how do you know what to believe? And even if you support all the things that Trump is trying to do, when you have a president who is completely disconnected from candor and fact, it makes life very difficult. And we only have to look back to Jack Kennedy and Lyndon Johnson to realize that they were entirely disconnected from the facts, that we were misled entirely over what was happening in Vietnam. And fortunately, even though we lost that war, it had no strategic consequences. Today, the consequences of not telling the truth can be unbelievably dramatic in terms of basic legislation, for example, the tax law that has made profound changes, and all the other legislative issues that are being approached. If we're not truthful, we have no idea what this is going to mean. And as a result, it's very, very likely we're going to do far more damage to the public than by not disclosing what we think the consequences are, merely for political expediency to get something done. And this really poses a tremendous threat and danger to the future of democracy.
I would agree 100% on that, Harlan. But, you know, when you look at somebody, for example, like G.W. Bush, he came out, as I recall, later during his administration, he came out, hit himself on the forehead with his hand and said, "I really made a mistake.
He did.
Yeah, of course he did. But he said his rationale was, "I was given the incorrect information." How do you avoid that, man?
Well, the fact is he didn't want to have the right information. He was bound and determined to impose democracy on the greater Middle East, which meant that we were going to invade Iraq, and we needed a rationale, and so weapons of mass destruction were the rationale, whether they existed or not. And had, at that stage, W been much more mature, he could have said, "Look, we are not certain. We believe that they may have weapons of mass destruction, but we cannot leave this to chance. Saddam is dangerous, and therefore we need to go in to prevent him ever from getting weapons of mass destruction." He did not do that. He said with complete, the Islamic State and other radical groups emerged, in which Iraq is in chaos and the rest of that part of the world is in chaos. That was our fault, and we went in for the wrong reasons, because we did not have sufficient knowledge and understanding of what was going on. And that, to me, is an indictment which is so severe that it can never be forgotten.
I simply don't understand what the purpose of something, as you say, is when something is so severe. I don't understand why he simply couldn't have said, we believe that very possibly the man brings about a danger because of potential weapons of mass destruction. We don't know that for a fact, but we are pretty certain that that's what's going on. That would have put a whole different light on the subject, don't you think?
Of course. But look, you had an administration with Dick Cheney, the vice president, Paul Wolfowitz, the deputy secretary of defense. These guys were bound and determined, and they were not going to yield an inch, and so they wanted to say that intellectually we're absolutely correct, we know what we're doing, and there's no doubt. And any degree of doubt could have mitigated going into Iraq. And so the certainty and the inflexibility of these people was catastrophic. And that's what happens in politics today. Yep. You're either with us or against us. You can't take a position that's 75% or 60%. It's got to be 100%.
Yeah.
And so you've got to say you're absolutely right when nothing is absolute. There are always shades of gray. And the trouble with American politics in part today is we do not understand there are shades of gray that require compromise.
And there are. Dr. Ullman, thank you very much for your time. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Take a look at the book, you guys.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Every industry faces distinguishing challenges and circumstances that shape the business and financial landscape. Camusso CPA LLC delivers unrivaled depth of knowledge and an engaging experience relevant to each client's industry-specific needs. Camusso offers preemptive guidance and knowledge required to achieve your greatest business and personal financial potential. Our approach is based on forging long-term business relationships accompanied by trust and value, creating an ever-important partnership. Build your dedicated financial team with us today. Visit CamussoCPA.com. That's CamussoCPA.com.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $5,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now. 1-800-959-5759. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now. 1-800-959-5759. That's 1-800-959-5759. 1-800-959-5759.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com. Virtual care anywhere.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
If you talk to me, we'll hear you.
Why are we getting killed like this?
Kyle's not here. Got caught drinking beer in the park a couple of nights ago.
Really?
Yeah. Zero tolerance. He's out for the season.
Harsh.
Hey, he knew not to drink. We've made that clear to all of our kids, right?
No, not really.
Bill, if we don't tell them what we expect and why they shouldn't drink, how are they going to know?
Talk. They hear you.
You can do it if you try.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Hey, welcome in. You know, I do have to make one more comment about Dr. Ullman. You chatted with him in the prior segment, segment 5. This is a guy who's really got a handle, a very good handle on what's going on politically, and the fact that you really can't consider gray areas at all when you're looking at very important international events. I would have to say I second that 1,000%. Going to chat right now with Ryan Coe. Going to talk about cryptocurrency. He's going to talk about what implications are out there in terms of government interference, for lack of better terms. Let's change that word interference to government regulation. Ryan, what do you think? Is that going to be happening?
Hi, Al. Yeah, thanks for having me back on the
pleasure,
show here.
Man.
And to actually answer that question, we have to actually define whether these cryptocurrencies, are they really a currency or are they a security? And for the most part, it's a gray area right now.
Mm-hmm.
Most believe it is a currency. If it's a currency, it is not going to be regulated by, say, the Securities and Exchange Commission. But mm-hmm. if it is a security, then definitely it falls under the regulation of, say, the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
Now, going back a year, what we saw was in places like China, they banned ICOs, the initial coin offering.
Mm-hmm.
Because they saw there was just too much fraud happening. Now, when you're talking about the cryptocurrency space, you got hundreds, actually probably now over 1,000 different coins. Of
mm-hmm.
course, the most notable ones are Bitcoin,
sure.
Ethereum, Ripple. Those ones are the most notable ones. But there's all these other ones that people don't have much knowledge about, and they're being issued all the time. Now, the question is, are they being issued or are they being mined, quote-unquote mined?
Mm-hmm.
Now, if they're being issued, who are they being issued by, and should that fall under regulation? So what we're seeing in the initial part of the new year here in 2018 is we're seeing some of the regulators, regulators and governments alike have been leaking out some information on what they're looking at doing. So, for instance, the ECB, an ECB governor called the other day for taxation and regulation, most notably of Bitcoin and
mm-hmm.
cryptocurrency.
Mm-hmm.
So you can already kind of get a sense of that's going to happen. Maybe not immediately, but soon. China also has weighed in the new year, and they said they want to put a power limit consumption for mining limits in place. Now, that's very important for such cryptocurrencies as Bitcoin, as a lot of the miners, quote-unquote miners, are located in China. So
mm-hmm.
a lot of the computational power that's required to solve these blockchain mathematical problems, they all are a lot of them are solved in China. So if the Chinese government is saying, wait a minute, we're going to limit the power consumption, well, those miners are going to have to set up shop somewhere else or pay more in power because their consumption is pretty high these days. Now, there's also news out of Australia where the Australian banking system, there's reports that they are selectively shutting down customer accounts that they feel are moving too much money into the exchanges. So they don't comply with at least the anti-money laundering rules. So at a very minimum, we're going to see this year, or maybe next year, anti-money laundering rules being put in place, at least maybe on the exchange level, maybe even worse than that. But for the most part, we're going to see bits and pieces of governments clamping down on what they feel is a gray area. And they were going to put more regulation and at least taxation on cryptocurrency trading in the future.
Now, let me ask you a question. When you talk about that, you know, the first thing that pops into my mind, I was in Vancouver earlier this week, and we were talking about some of the blockchain companies that are out there, blockchain platforms, companies that are going to that are offering blockchain platforms. These are publicly traded companies. A number of Vancouver companies are doing that. What exactly does that mean when a company says we are a blockchain platform?
Well, for the most part, there are some notable names out there that are actually involved in the cryptocurrency or mm-hmm. blockchain space. Some of them are just dropping, keyword dropping, and they don't really have much to do with the cryptocurrency space or blockchain technology in itself. So there are companies that are involved in perhaps researching the side of transactional usage of certain blockchain technology.
Mm-hmm.
There are actual miners. Now, the most notable one, of course, is Hive. Hive is has been set up as miners, quote-unquote miners of cryptocurrencies. So that one's been very notable, a notable gainer on the TSX most recently. So there are a slew of companies out there. Now, you have to be careful on picking and choosing, just like in any type of investment, who's behind these deals. What are they actually looking for? Are they just name dropping so that they can ride the wave of this cryptocurrency fad or blockchain fad? There's definitely unscrupulous individuals involved in any time there's a fad happening. So, but there's definitely some legitimate companies out there that are looking at into the technology, and definitely those are, you have to do your due diligence on finding out which ones are legitimate or not.
What makes a company legitimate in this area, Ryan?
Well, one thing everyone has to realize is that even if they raise money, that doesn't make them legitimate, because right now money is being thrown at this space, and anyone that has the name cryptocurrency or blockchain are able to raise money based off of that. So that, in that sense, raising money doesn't mean that they're a legitimate company. What you have to look at is perhaps the individuals behind the deal. Do they have a track record? Do they have a track record of running companies in the past? So you have to take a look at that, and that's always been the most important portion of investing, I feel, in any space, regardless if it's the cryptocurrency space or the mining space or any type of company. You have to take a look at who's running the deal, not because there's money behind the deal. It's who's running the deal.
Isn't that interesting? So you really have to be careful. I know the broker who I was speaking with yesterday was saying, boy, if a Vancouver company just, you know, makes reference to we're a blockchain company or what have you, immediately is given a huge premium right out of the box. And he said, yeah. I really wonder when this thing is just going to kind of explode. So you're saying the most important thing to look at, because I know our listeners are, you know, active investors in Canadian companies. The most important thing to look at, in your opinion, is very definitely management, management, management. You don't want to get involved in a company with somebody who went from marijuana to something else because that just isn't going to work. Ryan Coe, always a pleasure. Thanks for the advice, my friend.
To find out more about today's guest, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Have you ever wondered who the second person to discover gravity was? When you're in the mood for a treat, would you go to the second best bakery in town? Or how about the name John Breckinridge? Recognize it? If you don't, that's because he came in second to Abraham Lincoln. The firsts are first for a reason. Just how ID Stronghold was the first to create the technology to protect your credit cards from thieves with RFID chip scanners. ID Stronghold products block signals from those scanners, so thieves can't capture your critical data. Get a stronghold on your personal information and protect your family too. Don't settle for the second best wallet. Pick up ID Stronghold wallets for everyone on your list this holiday season. They're the perfect stocking stuffer, with leather wallets starting as low as $20 on Walmart.com, eBay, Amazon, and QVC. Save 10% by using coupon code PRESENT for a limited time. That's coupon code PRESENT, only on IDStronghold.com. IDStronghold.com.
Attention type 2 diabetics. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA has warned that Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR and other inhibitors for type 2 diabetes cause an increased role in amputations of the toes, feet, and legs. If you or a loved one has taken Invokana, Invokamet, or Invokamet XR or other inhibitors $1,000 for type 2 diabetes and suffered amputation of the toes, feet, or legs, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-475-7607. That's 800-475-7607. Again, 800-475-7607. Call now. This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. www.injuryhelpdesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas, Nevada.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry My Pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of My Pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Does the current world crisis in North Korea or our domestic crisis right here in America concern you? Well, I know it concerns me. My friends over at Legacy Food Storage have solutions in the event there's the inevitable. What's the inevitable? Civil unrest, a run on your local grocery store. And here's my question to you. If this happens, how do you feed your children? How do you feed your grandchildren? Legacy Food Storage has the solutions. In fact, they can help you implement a simple plan to take care of your needs in the event of the inevitable. By calling them right now, I have authorized them to give you a special 20% discount at checkout by simply using GCN. Call 888-543-7345 or visit them at legacyfoodstorage.com. That's 888-543-7345 or visiting them at legacyfoodstorage.com. Make sure you use GCN at checkout for an incredible 20% discount. Don't be a victim. Take control of your life now.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You know, I got to tell you, Ryan Cole is a very interesting guy. He knows a lot about the cryptocurrencies and certainly the potential government involvement with the blockchains and the cryptocurrencies and the rest of it. Don't just take it for granted that this stuff is all going to make you money. Listen to what Ryan says. There's things to be aware of. Got Dr. John Huber with me right now. Boy, I'll tell you, if he can really straighten you out if you are aware of the negativity that's going on in society and how to deal with it. You know, it's seems, John, as you know, you and I were talking off mic, I very seldom even listen to the nightly news anymore because it's all bad stuff. And, you know, I got to tell you, I'm tired of bad stuff. How can America deal with that? Because, I mean, if you're bombarded with negativity, you're going to become a very negative person. You read the political editorials, et cetera, whether it's Paul Krugman or whoever, and all you're going to do is be depressed. Now, what can a person do other than just not read that stuff anymore and consequently be ill-informed? What do you recommend?
Well, first of all, you have to do a couple of things. One of them, you have to look where all this comes from and why we are focusing in on negativity. And then the other side to the fact is if they're throwing you negativity, if you don't listen to them, or if you do listen to them, you're going to be fed poor information either way. So I think it behooves us then to try and find other outlets and other sources of verifiable news and not just focus on all the negative stuff that's going on there.
You know, Doc, I got to tell you, I'm reading a book right now, as we were talking about again a little bit off mic. The book is called Beautiful Hope. And yes, it does have religious connotations, but that's not what we're talking about here. What we're talking about is there's a big difference between a person being optimistic and being hopeful. Hopeful basically purely and simply means taking action. Optimism just means thinking that everything is going to be coming up roses, and even if it doesn't. Oftentimes, optimistic people are those that are the most disappointed in their lives. Don't you think?
I think so, exactly. And we did talk off the line, and I had a football coach. His name is Kenneth Purcell, out of Allen, Texas. Now he's down in Plano, I believe. He used to tell the whole team, and he drilled this in. You know, no matter what you're thinking, what you're feeling, how bad you feel or how bad or corrupt the world is, get up, get dressed, and get moving. Because even if you make the wrong decision today, because you chose to make that decision, you can now choose to make a different, better decision the next moment. And you have control through that. If you just sit there and are optimistic, and, well, the world just kind of passes you by, and you let the world have control, as opposed to you taking what little control we do have in our reality.
Why is it so difficult, John, for people to take control of their own lives?
It's scary. I mean, that's what is down to the fact. I mean, it is scary. Change is very hard for us, even
why?
When it's good change.
Yeah,
it's
why
trauma.
Is it? Why is it?
It's the unknown. I mean, you know, I work with people with serious mental health issues, and I work with, for example, battered women. Mm-hmm. And I sit there and I watch them and I read their police reports. And, you know, the police have shown up at their place, you know, 15 times in the last 3 months, and another, you know, 15 times in the next forward months as we work with them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, why can you not step away from this? And it boils down to, you know, no matter how bad he is, it could be worse.
No matter how bad he is, it could be worse. I don't know. The thing that I find interesting is people who are really successful. And you look at people, for example, some of the prophets out there, and then a prophet is the wrong way to put it, I guess I would have to say, but some of the egomaniacs are that Tony Robbins, etc. You know, I learned an awful lot, not from Tony Robbins, but I learned an awful lot as a youth with Dale Carnegie, Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, folks like that. And it one thing that they never brought up, in my opinion, is how damn difficult it is to change your attitude. I bring this into KER politics only because we are bombarded daily by the bad stuff. Nothing good. All bad.
And that's conditioning. You know, from the day we're born, we're sitting there and we're doing something inappropriate and our parents correct us. And then we get to school, whether it's daycare or a legitimate school, and we walk in. And what do we get from our teachers every day? You need to learn how to take criticism better. You need to listen to all the things you're doing wrong and learn from me, because I'm going to tell you how to do things right. And you get that every day of your life through school. A lot of us get it in the workplace. You have bosses who micromanage and don't let you do what you're there for in the first place. And, you know, we're conditioned for that. And then when we do something well and somebody comes along and says, hey, you did a great job on that, you minimize it. Oh, it was easy, or I just got lucky. And the fact is, the reason why it usually is easy is because you did all the work you needed to do to be prepared for that moment. And you needed to be commended for that. You have done a good job. And we're decommissioned or programmed to not just say thank you anymore. We have to make an excuse because, oh, you need to be humble. You need to, you know, not gloat. Well, it's not if you did the work. Say thank you. Get on with your life and take control.
Well, you know, it's really interesting to me. Obviously, pessimism, violence, negativity is what sells newspapers. And I don't understand why. And it also what basically sells a ton of advertising in terms of both television and radio. Why is that, John? Is it because of a conditioning that we get in society? Or what?
We're conditioned for that. Right. And then what happens is when they say something good on there, we make excuses why that person did good. Oh, they just got lucky. Or, man, you know, anybody would have done that. But when somebody goes and gets in trouble and wrecks their car and goes off a cliff, it's like, oh, my gosh, you know, look at that. And we're just drawn to the accident. You know, I have a buddy who's into race cars, and he says the number one reason why people watch NASCARs are waiting for the wreck. Of course, I have a friend who actually drives rally car. She's a professional race car driver and all that kind of stuff. And she absolutely disagrees, you know, but that's why she doesn't watch NASCAR. She does rally car. So,
well, I think it's very true, you know, and you have to wonder sometimes if some of the violence in sports, I mean, you know, we just got over college football, and that, well, I guess we're not totally over yet. We still have Georgia Bama,
right,
which is going to be one hell of a game. But having said that, you know, we still have a little bit of NFL left, actually a lot of NFL left. They're going to drag that out. They're going to drag it out and drag it out and drag it out. You have to wonder if people don't watch football, as an example, because it is a violent sport. I happen to love football. I mean, I think the athleticism, et cetera, goes without saying, is great. Why are people drawn to stuff like that, John?
Well, when we're talking about sports like football or lacrosse, what they're doing is they're essentially replacing war. I mean, it's a land acquisition competition.
Sure it is.
And you're, you know, Dallas is trying to beat Pittsburgh, is trying to beat Seattle, is trying to beat, you know, Detroit. And as they go through, they're trying to say, yes, we are better than the other team. I mean, you know, when lacrosse got started in Canada between the Indians that were doing it, the team that lost got beheaded. Yeah, I mean, and it wasn't a 3-hour game. It was a 24 to 36 day game. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was legitimate. And it was across 10-15 kilometers, and it was war. It really was war, and that kept the rival tribes from actually going out there and killing and raping and pillaging.
Yeah.
They were able to have this game, and it settled land acquisition issues that they had, and they would play it again next year and so on and so forth. Well, so we kind of transmuted that into soccer and football. And
the thing that people have to remember, and this is really critical, listen to what Dr. John Huber has to say. Don't take things for granted. Get up, stand on your own 2 feet, and make up your own mind. Don't just buy into the depression. Dr. Huber, always a pleasure. Thanks, man.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hello, my name is Marjorie Wildcraft. I'm the founder of The Grow Network, which is an online community of people who produce their own food and medicine. We are really into backyard self-reliance. If you want this lifestyle, I suggest your first step be to learn some basic home medicine. Just the other day, my 18-year-old son came to me and said, "Mama, I got a sore throat. Can you fix me up?" And I said, "Sure, Ryan," and in about 24 hours, he was better. The best home medicine for you to start out with is garlic. It's an amazing natural antibiotic, and I can show you how to use garlic to handle ear infections, sore throats, colds, and flus. As a way for you to get to know a little bit more about me and the Grow Network, I've written up an easy introduction on how to use garlic. It's at gcnwellness.com. Now, the station manager told me that I needed to say the URL at least twice, even though it feels kind of weird. But if you're interested in backyard self-reliance, you are one of us. Go to www.gcnwellness.com and let's connect up.
Water is the single most important thing your body needs, so you want to be sure it's the best for you and your family. Since 2005, thousands have depended on Berkey Purified Water. The Berkey guy provides the lowest priced filtration systems in every size. For incredibly delicious water now and in an emergency, get to GoBerkey.com or call 877-886-3653. 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years?
and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall. There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
It's about time something new came along for better selling and buying online. And I found it.
What now, Marge?
It's buysellmakeoffer.com.
Never heard of it.
It's a brand new company. That's why you've never heard of it. It's the newest and best way to sell any products online. I did all the research.
Sell my car?
Yes.
Our home?
Yep.
My golf bag?
Your golf clubs. All of them.
How about your purse collection hoard?
Hey, now.
You said any product.
Right. I did.
Hmm.
We get 30 days free.
Really?
Packages starting from only $9.95. And buysellmakeoffer.com will never charge item fees, ever.
Hmm.
Never. And this is cool. Listen to this. You can even use Skype or video to show your items.
That's cool.
Yes. All we have to do is go to the website, sign up, and then load our stuff to sell. I love this site.
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buysellmakeoffer.com. You got it?
Buysellmakeoffer.com.
Buy, sell, MakeOffer.com. Better selling, better buying.
Welcome in. Time to wrap up KER Politics. Got a very interesting man on the line right now. He's been on the show once before, Professor Alan Sanders. Let me tell you a little bit about him. He is an associate professor of poli-sci, political science at St. Peter's University in New Jersey, where he teaches courses in American politics and constitutional law. He can do that because, among other things, he is a retired lawyer and he's a former Time Magazine senior reporter on law and politics. Professor Sanders, I'm getting pretty disappointed in Donald Trump. Am I correct? I'm disappointed primarily because of the way he communicates, which in my opinion is abysmal. I think if he were a better communicator, he would have virtually no problems. Any comments on that?
Well, certainly his communication leaves much to be desired. He tends to be vengeful and somewhat childish, really, in the tweets that he sends out. And that tends to diminish the prestige and the stature of the presidency. One of the great sources of power for the president is the stature of the office. And unfortunately, I don't think that Donald Trump has recognized that sufficiently. And to his detriment, he has cheapened the dialogue and cheapened the language of the presidency. And that does not help him. You can see that from the reaction of members of the Republican Party,
yep.
Some of whom have been rather outspoken on that.
Well, it's pretty hard to be a Jersey brawler, which I think basically is what he is. And I'm not saying that, by the way, necessarily in a derogatory sense. You know, I'm just saying that's how I view Trump, and that's how I always viewed Trump. I supported Donald Trump very, very strongly prior to the election and obviously during the election because I felt that he really was a unique individual who could really bring change because I thought the change in our political process was long overdue. I don't know if he can do that anymore. What do you think?
Well, I'm not sure that he can. Actually, you know, when you take a look at his first year of the presidency, I think the Republican Party was very happy to have a Republican in the White House. They believed that the president, in this case Donald Trump, would sign the bills that the Republican agenda called for. As we head into the new year, however, things change. We're now heading into an election cycle,
mm-hmm.
and that's going to change the dynamics. So I think the Republicans were happy with Donald Trump to the extent they were able to pass whatever they were able to pass. The main bill, of course, being the tax
mm-hmm.
bill that was passed just at the end of the year. But I think you're going to see the dynamics change dramatically now as we head into the election year. And that's not unusual. All incumbent presidents find that members of Congress who are running for office, many of them try to separate themselves out of the president and try to run on individual local issues. So he's going to be feeling the heat of the normal election cycle.
He's going to be feeling the heat of a normal election cycle. There's no question about that. But the question that I would have is this. Pardon me. When you look at what happened last year, number one, ISIS. I mean, these may seem like trite examples, but in lieu of our history, recent history, I don't think they are. Number one, the situation with ISIS was pretty much mitigated. Number two, I thought that he handled the situation with Kim Jong-un very, very well. He seemed to get mainland China on our side. He certainly got Russia on our side. I think that's no small accomplishment, personally. The economy... I'm not really sure that the Trump administration is totally responsible for what we're seeing in the stock market, but with the passage of the tax bill and the fact that we have a president who is a pretty successful business guy, I think that creates optimism. Any comments on those?
Well, I think certainly the economy is on a major uptick. How much this president has had on changing that around, of course, it's hard to know. It's always hard to know the impact of a president. But certainly the economy looks good, and consumers are optimistic. I think we had a pretty good Christmas shopping season. On the international scene, I would have to take issue with some of what you say, Al.
Okay.
Many people have wanted a more aggressive or more muscular, let's put it this way, a more muscular foreign policy, and I would say that was one of the major criticisms of Obama, that he was not muscular enough.
Mm-hmm.
However, when you take a look at the U.S. prestige and the U.S. role around the world, you see Russia and China moving into some of the vacuum of power that the United States has left in the Middle East and in the Orient. You see a major shift away from the United States, or at least major concern about the United States from our European allies, our mm-hmm. most solid allies. And so I think the position of the United States strategically around the globe is not as positive as it was, a year ago. Nonetheless, it's true that many people here domestically support a more muscular foreign policy, but I'm not sure that's resonating all that well among leaders around the globe.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me. I don't disagree with that at all. But I brought out the fact of North Korea and the Middle East vis-a-vis ISIS simply because that's something that was never resolved in prior presidencies. Now, I have to say that in dealing with people who have, I use the terminology, class and character, I think that Trump, unfortunately, because of his method of communication, etc., I think he really offends those people. And when you talk about class and character, Alan, I have to tell you, I mean, you look at the French, you look at the British, to an extent, you look at the Russians and some other people, the Germans. They are the epitome of class and character, as some of our past presidents certainly have been. In my opinion, Donald Trump doesn't fall into that category, and I think that's a big negative. Any comments?
Yeah, I think I have to agree with you, Al. I mean, you can be unconventional and you can want to change the system or the dynamics of the system, but you also have to understand that every profession, and the presidency is a professional job.
Yep.
Diplomacy is a professional endeavor, has its norms and its customs. And if you don't operate according to those norms and customs, you run the risk of being treated as an outsider or as an irrelevancy or as an antagonist.
Right.
And that doesn't help you at all when you're dealing with people. You can have new policies, you can argue for new approaches, but you have to operate by the norms of the profession. That would be true of a doctor, it would be true of a lawyer, it would be true of a business person, and I mm-hmm. think you also have to recognize it has to be true of a president.
No question about that. Most of my guests, by the way, as we were talking off mic, are either political people like yourself, academicians, etc., or authors, pretty well-known authors. I haven't interviewed anybody, interestingly enough, in the last probably 3 or 4 months who thinks that Trump is going to make it through his presidency. I certainly haven't talked to any people in the past 3 or 4 months who are applauding what he's doing. Any comments?
Well, I would hesitate to predict anything regarding
yeah.
Donald Trump. So many of us predicted, right, that he would never be elected, would never make it through the primaries, would never make it through the election, and certainly we've had lots of prognostications that he will never make it through his presidency. It's hard to know, and it's hard to predict, because there's so many dynamics here. The real question is, will he be an effective president? okay? Uh-huh. And there's some real doubt. Certainly, his first year, he wasn't able to accomplish too many things. The most important thing, of course, was the tax bill. That's not an insignificant accomplishment, but it's about the only accomplishment, major accomplishment. So I would say it's a fairly safe bet, judging by the first year, which is typically the most productive year of a presidency, historically. Mm-hmm. He didn't really accomplish all that much, and so it would be difficult to see what the dynamics would be that would allow him to accomplish more in his second, third, and fourth year if he does indeed serve out the term. So I think the real question is how effective a president he will be, and that's a real open question right now.
You know, I have to agree. I think that it could turn out to be one of the greatest points in American history, vis-a-vis the office of the president, or it could turn out to be absolutely the worst president in going down in history as perhaps one of the worst presidents. I think the main reason that that's happening, though, and I hate to keep beating on this dead horse, for lack of better terms, but he is just the world's worst communicator. We've got 30 seconds left, Alan. What can the Republicans do to save the party, in your opinion?
Well, I think the best thing they can do right now is to run as the Republican Party and to separate themselves out as much as they can from the president and to run on a record of Republicanism, which, you know, they didn't quite do during the first year. They kind of genuflected to President Trump's agenda. I think they need to run on their own agenda, make it clear-cut what they actually want to do, and appeal to the American people on the basis of a Republican agenda.
You know, I think that's really good advice for the president. You know, I think if he would perhaps listen to Big Al a little bit and clean up his communication to make it more effective. And I think if the party, number one, as you said, develop their own singular identity and let the people make up their choice if they like the leader and not just necessarily try to do things that are really silly. You know, the selection down in Alabama, for lack of better terms, was absolutely ridiculous. And I'm not at all surprised the way it turned out. Professor Alan Sanders, always a pleasure, sir. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, hope you enjoyed KER Politics.
The Corlin Economics Report is produced for A.B. Corlin and Associates. Opinions expressed on this program are intended solely for the entertainment of our listeners, do not constitute investment advice, and are not necessarily those of this network, radio station, or our sponsors. Find out more about this program and today's guests by visiting www.kereport.com. For Al Corlin, this is Colleen Robbins. Join us again next week for the Corlin Economics Report.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. I'm talking thick, meaty, center-cut, presidential bacon. Savory and delicious. I buy some, I use some, I store some. Awesome. No refrigeration needed with a 10-year shelf life. NASA pack technology. Bacon. Fully cooked, fully hydrated, ready-to-eat right from the pack bacon. Or warm and served. Life-saving, ready-to-eat bacon. 10-year shelf life bacon. Ships free at fullycookedbacon.com. Fullycookedbacon.com.